WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's top elections official is getting a vote of no confidence from a state Senate committee. As Nate Wegehout reports, Megan Wolf may stay on the job anyway.
The vote on the Senate Elections Committee fell along party lines, with three Republicans voting no on reappointing Wolf, one Democrat voting yes, and one Democrat abstaining. Presumably, the vote will go to the full Senate as soon as this Thursday. Republican Senator Dan Fahan, who sits on the committee, said he voted no because she didn't show up to her confirmation hearing. But legal experts say it's no matter. Democratic Senator Mark Spreitzer, who also sits on the committee and voted yes, told the Devil's Advocates radio show yesterday.
I think she's either been nominated or she hasn't, and she hasn't. And they, you know, just that they can wake up and say, well, we consider her to have been nominated. That isn't how it works.
Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Republicans plan to release their plan to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee in the next week to 10 days. That's according to Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August. Negotiations are still underway, but August says the Republican plan will not use money from the state's $4 billion surplus.
I think that this deal will be built more around kind of the revenues off of player salaries, the tax revenues off of those, and maybe some sales tax revenue that comes out of the sales when we all go to a game and buy a popcorn or a Miller Lite.
American Family Field needs upgrades if the Brewers are going to stay in Wisconsin. August was on Upfront on WISN-TV Sunday. A Madison lawyer is suing to stop any impeachment of Wisconsin's newest Supreme Court justice. Tim Burns claims impeaching Janet Protasiewicz would violate the constitutional rights of the people who voted for her. Republicans have been talking about impeaching Protasiewicz. They want her to recuse herself from cases about Wisconsin's legislative maps and abortion. Those are things she talked about during her campaign. People in Wisconsin have a chance to express their views about Social Security in September. Here's Mike Bohn.
Martin Hernandez with AARP Wisconsin says these sessions are meant to provide a relaxed atmosphere that allows participants to discuss a hot-button issue without the political tension often connected to it.
There's so much rhetoric going from both sides, and we really want to just present the facts.
He says they're especially trying to engage with workers in their 40s and 50s who will eventually rely on the program. Social Security is popular with voters, but lawmakers are divided on how to maintain it amid forecasts that its funds will run out in a decade. I'm Mike Moen.
There was a Social Security listening session last night in Eau Claire. There'll be others in Appleton and Madison later this month. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to the State Office of Rural Health, Wisconsin first responders are struggling to help those in need amid staffing challenges. A survey conducted by the office found over 40% of volunteer departments reported days where they couldn't get a full staff together in 2022, and over 60% reported gaps in service caused by a lack of staff. Volunteer directors have cited a lack of funding and increased retirements during the COVID-19 pandemic as causes of the short staff issues. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is finalizing new regulations that would require wolf hunters in the state to register their kills faster, face a limited training window for dogs, and prevent them from disturbing wolf dens. The regulations are set to be submitted for board approval in October, and if approved, the changes would become permanent. The changes are part of the agency's new wolf management plan. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers shut out the Marlins. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 12-0 win last night over the Miami Marlins at AmFam Field, a 3-run rally in the third, a 5-run rally in the sixth. Then on the mound was Milwaukee's Brandon Woodruff, who pitched a complete game shutout, throwing strikes on the first pitch to 26 consecutive batters.
Just tried to make quality pitches early and try to get quick outs, and thankfully defense played a heck of a game behind me and allowed me to get deep in the game.
Woodruff went over his pitch count, but Craig Counsell let him finish after Sunday's 11-inning no-hitter was wasted.
Look, he threw the ball great, and he deserved the shot to do it for sure. You know, that's just a big-time performance. We've had two incredible performances by our guys the last 2 days, and, you know, makes you really appreciate what they've accomplished and what they do for your team.
Game two of the four-game series tonight in Milwaukee. College football, number 19th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers have been dropped out of the top 25 after losing to Washington State head coach Luke Fickell.
You got to move on. You got to put it past you. But you got to remember the feeling.
The Badgers host the Georgia Southern Eagles Saturday in Madison. NFL, a wild finish on Monday Night Football. A 65-yard punt return for a touchdown by the Jets in overtime to beat the Bills 22-16, but a devastating loss. Aaron Rodgers sacked on the turf. The opening drive twists his ankle. After the game, Jets head coach Robert Saleh says it's likely a season-ending torn Achilles tendon.
Concerned with his Achilles. MRI is probably going to confirm what we think is already going to happen. So prayers tonight, but it's not good.
In Green Bay, Kenny Clark celebrates receiving the game ball after the Packers win over the Bears. In the stands was Kenny's father, finally released from prison after a controversial trial nearly 20 years ago.
You know, I'm just blessed, man. I've been through a lot, you know, in my life. Like I said, it was a special moment, and it was special to share that with him.
As Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning. It is the 12th day of September. Hope you're having a good day so far. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. We have a lot going on today. Going to try to cover several topics in the news. Also give you a little bit of weather and sports. And in fact, let's get to the weather right now. La Crosse today, partly sunny, chance of rain, high near 70 degrees. In Eau Claire today, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 64. Richland Center, partly sunny, and a chance of rain, high around 72 degrees. Amory, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, high around 60. And up in Hayward, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain till about 1 p.m. and a high around 58 degrees. Well, the thing that everybody is talking about today in sports, did you get to see Aaron Rodgers last night in his big debut with the New York Jets? Well, you didn't have much of a chance to see it. It all happened so fast. Yep, Aaron Rodgers may be out for the season after going down only four plays into the Jets game last night. Evidently, they're going to do an MRI today to find out more, but it does not look good. Also in sports, Brandon Woodruff from the Brewers threw his first ever complete game shutout as the Brewers beat the Marlins 12-0 last night. The Cubs also won last night, so Milwaukee remains three games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central. Game two of that four-game series against Miami is tonight in Milwaukee. And as far as the headlines today, you may have heard about this. A new lawsuit was filed yesterday seeking to block Republicans from launching an impeachment of Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Also, Republicans who control the Wisconsin legislature took a step yesterday toward firing the state's top election official. And if you're in the La Crosse area, you should know that construction is now underway on the Wisconsin State Route 162 bridge that crosses Dutch Creek in La Crosse County. And that bridge is scheduled to reopen by late November. So the big story, at least here in our state, is about this lawsuit that was filed yesterday. Let me give you a little bit of information about that. You know that the Republicans are saying that Janet Protasiewicz has to recuse herself from decisions concerning the gerrymandered maps in our state. And if she doesn't do so, then, and also about abortion issues, but if she doesn't do so, then she has to be impeached, right? Well, there's a news lawsuit filed yesterday. I have a story here from the La Crosse Tribune with a headline that says, lawsuit asks Wisconsin Supreme Court to block impeachment before assembly acts. This piece was posted 2 hours ago by Alexander Schur at the La Crosse Tribune, lacrossetribune.com. It says here that the Wisconsin Supreme Court should prohibit the legislature from impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz because removing her from office would invalidate the constitutional rights of the Wisconsinites who voted for her. A lawsuit filed Monday states, and keep in mind there were more than a million votes cast for Justice Protasiewicz. The lawsuit, which three Protasiewicz voters filed directly with the Supreme Court, also states the assembly doesn't have the authority under the state constitution to impeach the liberal justice. The lawsuit follows Republican legislators' threats to impeach Protasiewicz over her possibly presiding over two redistricting lawsuits. Despite calling the current legislative maps rigged, the Supreme Court hasn't accepted the cases yet, nor has Protasiewicz decided whether she'll recuse herself from the lawsuits. Republicans say Protasiewicz must recuse herself from the cases challenging the current maps as unconstitutional because she prejudged them. Democrats say her comments weren't illegal and that impeaching her would nullify the election. And here's a quote. This is from Tim Burns. It says here, the votes of over 1 million Wisconsinites are about to be assigned to the dustbin of history by an un-American, anti-democratic power play by the Wisconsin state legislature that is designed to and will simultaneously destroy judicial independence and the right of voters to effectuate political change in Wisconsin. That is the language in the lawsuit written by Tim Burns, liberal, former Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate. The lawsuit seeks an emergency order to prevent any impeachment proceedings against Protasiewicz. It argues, quote, the public will be irreparably harmed unless the court acts. It also seeks a permanent order preventing the assembly, preventing the assembly from impeaching Protasiewicz over statements she made during her campaign. The lawsuit alleges assembly lawmakers would be acting outside of the powers the Constitution granted them if they impeached her. And the lawsuit states to act outside of a grant of power is to usurp the power of the people who granted the legislature such power. It is for this reason that the court must act to protect these precious rights, end quote. The assembly can impeach an official with a majority vote based on specific reasons, corrupt conduct in office, or for the commission of a crime or misdemeanor, according to a Wisconsin Legislative Council memo. But Protasiewicz's statements don't fall into those categories, the lawsuit states. Here's another excerpt from the lawsuit. It says, the conduct of Justice Protasiewicz cannot be in any sense historically deemed as corrupt. Justices routinely do not recuse themselves from issues upon which they have expressed clear points of view or in the context of previous donors to their campaigns appearing before them as litigants. And spokespeople for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss didn't immediately respond to a request
for comment. The lawsuit states that impeaching Protasiewicz would encourage the assembly to impeach other civil officers and take away voters' rights to select Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. And here is another quote from the lawsuit. It says, this harm would grow exponentially, irrevocably fracturing our government's constitutional framework, the balance of power, and our citizens' right to vote. The harm to our state and our way of life cannot be overstated. And that's a quote from the lawsuit filed yesterday to try to prevent Republicans from impeaching Justice Protasiewicz for, they say, for comments she made while she was running for office. But I think most people kind of see through that and see the fact that the reason they want to impeach her is so they don't lose cases, right? They want to maintain power in our state. Got 15 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Another story I want to get to is concerning terrorists. Okay. You may have heard that terrorists have been trying to hit up these substations, electrical substations around our country. Do you know that there have already, well, I should say in the first 3 months of this year, there were 60 attempts at trying to cause widespread blackouts, mass blackouts, 60 attempts at different locations around the country by terrorists and terrorist groups. That's something we're going to explore after we take a quick break. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Stick around. This is a short break, so you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
You say you love me and you're thinking of me, but you know you could be wrong. You say you told me that you wanna hold me, but you know you're not that strong. I just can't do what I've done before. I just can't beg you. Holds a grudge, he's gonna call on you.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Red Delicious Honey Crisp. Granny Smith, if you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and affected climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms. For tonight, a shower or a sprinkle. We'll see a low around 41. Lots of sun for Wednesday with a high near 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. Friday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly cloudy, 74.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Born on this date in 1952, Neil Peart.
Invisible airwaves crackle with life, light and tender, bristle with the energy.
Saving Quartz. Neil Peart, one of the great drummers of all time, sadly now gone for, what, the past 3 years or so. I think he checked out in 2020. But, man, one of the great drummers, I think, if you ask just about any drummer who they were influenced by, he will be on the list. Born on this date in 1952. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning. We've got 47 degrees in La Crosse right now and 49 degrees in Richland Center. Spirit of Radio, name of that song. In case you don't know, obviously, tip of the hat to the radio world, and we appreciate that. Hey, just before the break, I was telling you that I want to get to a story about what's going on with terrorists attacking our electrical grid. And this is going on around the country. In the first 3 months of this year, there were 60 attacks on electrical substations or different parts of the electric grid. And last year, in 2022, there were 164 attacks during the entire year. So you can tell in just 3 months, we have 60. So that pace is picking up. And this is something that's obviously important. What would happen if we had a mass blackout? I have a story here from Politico that says extremists keep trying to trigger mass blackouts, and that's not even the scariest part. And the subheadline says extremist groups are among those targeting the electricity network, exposing the reporting gaps between the state and federal agencies that oversee its security. And this is a serious issue because it sounds like, based on this article that was posted on the 10th, day before yesterday, sounds like there is a communication gap between local authorities, federal authorities. I'll give you just a little bit of this before we have to head to our next break. It says Maryland's top utility regulator was watching the news one February morning when a headline blindsided him. Two suspects with neo-Nazi ties had been charged with plotting to take down Baltimore's power grid. Jason Stanek, the then chair of the state's Public Service Commission, said Maryland regulators were caught flat-footed, not hearing a word from law enforcement before the news broke or in the months afterward. Federal prosecutors have alleged the defendants were driven by racially motivated hatred. Okay, so it's a racial issue. That's why they went for Baltimore. They wanted to try to cut power to hundreds of thousands of people in the state's largest city, which has a predominantly black population. The FBI declined to comment on its communications with the Maryland Commission, but Stanek's experience is not uncommon. And we'll get to a little bit more of this story and an explanation after we take bottom of the hour break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. Police in Chester County, Pennsylvania, have been searching for an escaped convict for almost 2 weeks now.
It's amazing that he's still around this long into it.
And now we've learned Anello Cavalcanti may be armed. A resident reported a man matching his description stole a rifle from her home last night. Breaking news from Washington, where sources say House Speaker Kevin McCarthy intends to back an impeachment inquiry against President Biden. He's expected to tell House Republicans this week it is a logical next step. Hurricane Lee is a Category 3 storm over the Atlantic, about 550 miles south of Bermuda.
Rip currents are going to happen regardless of the exact track. In fact, they're already happening, and they're really up and down the east coast of the United States, at literally everywhere from central Florida through northeastern Maine.
That's John Cangialosi with the National Hurricane Center. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Indigenous tribes in Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin are asking federal officials to deny a utility's request for a loan to build a natural gas-fired power plant on Lake Superior. Dairyland Power is seeking a $350 million public loan for the project to cover their share of the cost of building the Nemadji Trail Energy Center power plant. The indigenous tribes called the project unthinkable in the face of climate change. The total cost of the project would be roughly $700 million. A high-speed police pursuit raced through western Wisconsin on Sunday, finally ending with a crash in Osseo. According to the Osseo Police Department, an 18-year-old driver nearly hit a police patrol car after speeding through a stop sign. The driver then ignored the officer's attempt to stop him and sped onto U.S. Highway 53 at speeds of up to 125 miles per hour. The driver of the car then crashed through a guardrail and went down an embankment before he was taken into custody with just minor injuries. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vet.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
A week, everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Wow, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
new music from the Rolling Stones, Angry. Man, doing what they do best. I tell you, one thing that the Stones have always been known for are those killer guitar hooks, man. Keith Richards, just those kind of guitar hooks that get in your head and stay with you. Anyway, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning. We've got 51 degrees in Amory right now, 54 degrees in Eau Claire. And just before the break, we were discussing the fact that terrorists have been attacking our electricity grid. And this is serious stuff. We're finding out that they have attempted to turn off the lights in entire cities like Baltimore, Maryland, and other places, too. I was reading from a story in Politico. I'll get back to this. It says a Politico analysis of federal data and interviews with a dozen security, extremism, and electricity experts revealed that despite a record surge in attacks on the grid nationwide, communication gaps between law enforcement and state and federal regulators have left many officials largely in the dark about the extent of the threat. They have also hampered efforts to safeguard the power network, adding to the difficulties, no single agency keeps a complete record of all such incidents. But the attacks they know about have regulators and other power experts alarmed. It says here that utilities reported 60 incidents they characterized as physical threats or attacks on major grid infrastructure, in addition to two cyber attacks during the first 3 months of 2023 alone, according to mandatory disclosures they filed with the Department of Energy. That's more than double the number from the same period last year. The Department of Energy has not yet released data past March. 9 of this year's attacks led to power disruptions, the Department of Energy records indicate. And the United States is on pace to meet or exceed last year's record of 164 major cyber and physical attacks. And additional analyses imply that the true number of incidents for both 2022 and 2023 is probably even higher. Politico's analysis found several incidents that utilities had reported to Homeland Security officials but did not show up in Department of Energy data. According to a report on grid security compiled by a power industry cyber clearinghouse obtained by Politico, a total of 1,665 security incidents involving the United States and Canadian power grids occurred last year. That count included 60 incidents that led to power outages, 71% more than in 2021. While that report does not break down how many of those incidents occurred in which country, the United States has a significantly larger grid serving 145 million homes and businesses with nearly 7 times Canada's power generating capacity. Law enforcement officials have blamed much of the rise in grid assaults. Who do you think they're going to blame it on? Do you have a guess? Well, if you said white nationalists and far right extremists, you're correct. And these law enforcement officials say they are using online forums to spread tactical advice on how to shut down the power supply. Concerns about the attacks have continued in recent months, with incidents including a June indictment of an Idaho man accused of shooting 2 hydroelectric stations in that state, Idaho. But law enforcement officers investigating alleged plots against the grid don't necessarily alert the Energy Department or other regulatory bodies. And here it says, we have no idea how many attacks on the grid are occurring, said John Wellinghoff, a former chair of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which regulates the United States electric grid. And a quote says, it looks like they're escalating if you look at the data, but if you don't have enough data, you can't discern patterns and proactively work to stop these things from happening. And Wellinghoff was the FERC's chair when an unknown sniper attacked a Pacific Gas and Electric substation in San Jose, California, in 2013, an incident regulators have described as a wake-up call on the electricity supply's vulnerability to sabotage. Last year's record number of physical and cyber disruptions to the United States power system included several incidents that captured public attention, such as a December shooting attack against two North Carolina substations that left 45,000 people without power for 4 days. The state's medical examiner has blamed the attack for the death of an 87-year-old woman who died after her oxygen machine failed, ruling it a homicide. So far, nobody has been charged. And here's a quote for you. This is from the senior vice president at the North American Electric Reliability Corporation. That's a nonprofit body in charge of setting reliability standards for the bulk power system. This gentleman's name is Manny Cancel. He said, there's no doubt there's been an uptick over the last 3 years in the amount of incidents and also the severity of the incidents. And he is also, by the way, Manny Cancel is also the CEO of its Electricity Information Sharing and Analysis Center, which gathers and analyzes data from power companies. Cancel said NERC has seen two pretty substantial increases in incidents coinciding with the 2020 and 2022 election cycles. Now, does that mean that we'll have another incident in 2024? Grid attacks that led to power outages increased 71% from 2021 to 2022, totaling 55 incidents in 2022, according to a NRC briefing to utilities that Politico obtained. That increase was primarily due to a rise in gunfire assaults against critical infrastructure. The largest outage reported from a physical attack this year, which occurred in March in Clark County, Nevada, affected more than 11,000 people, according to the Department of Energy data. But the State Public Utilities Commission was not aware of any outage due to an attack occurring that day, spokesperson Peter Costas told Politico by email. That's even though state regulations require utilities to contact the commission within 4 hours of a significant outage. The state's largest utility, called NV Energy, said in a statement that it had reported the incident to local law enforcement, quote, as soon as we learned about the incident, so we can continue to increase our resilience against ongoing threats to the energy industry, end quote. A spokesperson for the utility did not respond to multiple requests for comment on whether it had informed the commission. Federal regulations also require utilities to report cyber or physical attacks to the Department of Energy, including physical attacks that cause major interruptions or impacts to operations. It says here they must also tell the department about disruptions from weather or other causes that meet certain criteria, such as those that cut off service to more than 50,000 customers for at least an hour, an uncontrolled loss of more than 200 megawatts of power, or a utility voluntarily shutting down more than 100 megawatts, according to an Energy Department spokesperson. The spokesperson provided the information on the condition that they not be identified by name. So would you say this is a serious issue? Yeah, I would. If we've got people taking assault rifles and heading to their local substation and shooting the gun into the substation, just hoping to knock out the entire grid, I'd say it's a serious problem. And it's something we probably want to get a hold of before something really serious happens. It sounds like people are already dying because of what's going on. Got 8:46 right now. Got to take a break. It's a short one, so stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms. For tonight, a shower or a sprinkle. We'll see a low around 41. Lots of sun for Wednesday with a high near 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. Friday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly cloudy, 74.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
It ain't the meat, it's the motion that makes your mama wanna rock. It ain't the meat, it's the motion, it's the movement that gives it the sock. Well, I had a man, he was awful thin, not much to him but bones and skin. But one thing about him I could understand, he wraps all around me like a rubber band. It ain't the meat, it's the motion that makes your mama wanna rock. It ain't the meat, it's the motion. It's the movement that gives it the zop. The harder they fall. It ain't the meat, it's the motion that makes your mama wanna rock. It ain't the meat, it's the motion, it's the movement that gives it the sock.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. 8:52 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Maria Muldaur turning 80 years old today. Man, happy birthday to her. And I remember hearing that song the first time when I was a young man, and I'm like, what the heck is she talking about? Hey, right now, I got some updated temperatures, 52 degrees in La Crosse, 53 degrees up in Hayward. And I'd like to talk to our business owners right now. Are you a small business owner? I personally have owned small businesses most of my adult life. And one thing that I've learned is that both parties, politicians in both parties, often say that they like to support small business, but they look at small businesses differently. I know that when I've heard Republicans talk about supporting small businesses, they are often talking about small businesses that are owned by multimillionaires and billionaires, and tax cuts for those corporations really didn't affect me very much as a small business owner. But when it did come to politicians who were willing to help out small businesses like the small businesses that I owned and that were owned by friends of mine, it was usually Democrats that were standing up and coming forward with policies that would help us out. And I have a couple of shining examples of that right here. I have a story from the Shepherd Express talking about Wisconsin lawmakers who introduced a bill for small business to have an online portal. Wouldn't it be nice in Wisconsin if people who wanted to start a small business or people that already owned them had a place they could go online that would give them all the information they needed about state regulations, local regulations, how to set up your small business, what you need to do? Well, this piece from the Shepherd Express says that on Thursday of last week, a group of Wisconsin state lawmakers led by Representatives Robin Vining, Francesca Hong, and Kaylin Haywood, along with Senators Brad Pfaff and Melissa Agard, introduced legislation aimed at creating a comprehensive online portal for Wisconsinites seeking information on establishing, managing, and expanding small businesses. And one thing we should note about those five lawmakers mentioned is that all five of them are Democrats. The proposed website seeks to simplify the process for both aspiring entrepreneurs and existing business owners by consolidating vital resources and state agency interactions. Representative Vining, a small business owner herself, underscored the need for this initiative, citing the challenges faced by Wisconsin's small business community. She emphasized that while the state currently offers resources to assist business owners, these resources are often scattered across various platforms. The proposed bill aims to address this fragmentation, providing a unified digital hub for essential business-related information. According to Representative Vining, the impetus behind the legislation stems from Wisconsin's small business landscape. Recent data from the 2020 census revealed that a staggering 99.4% of businesses in the state fall under the small business category. Moreover, nearly half of Wisconsin's workforce is employed by small businesses. Since the summer of 2020, the state has experienced a surge in new business formations, averaging around 500 per month, a notable increase from the pre-pandemic range of 300 to 400. And as Representative Vining observed, Wisconsin's economic foundation is deeply rooted in small businesses, making it imperative to provide these rising entrepreneurs with cutting-edge digital tools to enhance competitiveness. And I think that's a great idea. If you are a small business owner, or if you're even thinking about starting a small business, wouldn't it be nice to have a website you could go to get all the information you need about regulations, licenses, who do you talk to about this or that? I think that's a great idea, and I think these Democratic lawmakers have a great idea that will help small businesses around our state. And in contrast, after we get back from the break, I'm going to give you an idea of how the other party, the Republicans, look at small businesses and some of their ideas regarding business owners. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Heart of mine, be still. You can play with fire, oh, but you'll get the bill. Don't let him know. Don't let him know that you love him. Don't be a fool, don't be blind.
This cardboard order, is it up to date?
Camila's recyclable coffee cup factory can no longer be considered a grande.
Redesign, it's at the printer.
She needs more designers to jump the business to a triple shot.
The client wants to see several more design options. The logo's gotta be bigger.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.